Hi, this is Dan Amrick from oneofswords.com, and you are listening to the Xbox 360 SoloCast.
Hello, everybody. Thank you for tuning in to episode 15 of the Xbox 360 SoloCast. I am your host, Smitty Smit, and this week I've got a fairly short episode for you. I've got a little bit of ranting and a little bit of raving, but I haven't been playing many games lately, and I think it's got something to do with the fact that it's January, the days are shorter, I'm getting older, so I'm tired all the time, the kids are running me ragged. It's a bad time of the year for me to get a lot of game time, and especially with there's not a lot of games being released. You know, there's not a lot to be hyped up about. My gamer score, 86,744. I only gained 70 points since the last time I recorded. I played a little bit of Skyrim, some NBA 2K12. I played a little bit more Star Wars: The Old Republic on PC, and I played some Zombies Must Die. I'll be reviewing that for Kmart Gamer, so make sure you go and check that out. That's going to be one of the things we talk about for releases. Actually, you know what? Let's talk about it now. I think it released last week, so we won't be talking about it much this week anyway. But it's this over-the-top, or I should say top-down, but it is, you know, somewhat over-the-top, you know, kind of a zombie survival game that is, to give you a preview of my review, it's okay. I mean, it's not a bad game. It's neat. It offers some variety with weapons and things like that, but there's no online play. There's an option for four-player co-op, but I can't hop online with three of my friends and chat via, you know, Xbox Live Party regular chat message. I don't think anybody actually uses that anymore. It's all the party system. But still, I can't hop online with my friends and play. I don't get that in today's day and age, why they wouldn't include something like that. It could have been something to do with the budget, or they didn't think the game was going to sell. I can say, for 800 Microsoft points for $10, it's not a terrible game. If you are even somewhat interested, I would say pick up the demo, give it a try. The achievements aren't super hard, and obviously because it's an arcade game, there's only going to be 200 points worth of achievements. But overall, I mean, it's okay, but it's nothing that I would say you must go out and buy. On the dashboard this week, again, there's really not a whole lot to be super excited for. We talked last time about limiting what we actually talk about on the dashboard rather than just giving you a list of what's there. You own an Xbox 360 more than likely if you're listening to this podcast, so you probably know what's there. There's nothing I really need to point out to you. Again, because we're in a really slow time of the year now, it's about to pick up, and it's about to pick up really hard and really fast, just the way we all like it. But there's really not a lot going on. I mean, I know we've got CES, which we'll get into that a little bit later, but in terms of game releases, there's some news leaking here and there, but in terms of stuff that we can actually play, stuff you guys are interested in, it's just a dry period at the moment. So I did want to give you guys a heads up. There's a, you know, I'm big into peripherals, I'm big into custom controllers, and just seeing what else is out there in regards to, you know, what's available to game. It's great to have options because with competition, companies are only going to continue to get better. Without competition, companies tend to, really lackadaisical when it comes to, games and things like that. But there's this company out. They're called Evil Controllers. I want you guys to go out and check them out. I think it's evilcontrollers.com, but you might just want to Google Evil Controllers. They do modify controllers, and I'm kind of against, modded controllers with the rapid fire in Call of Duty games and stuff like that. I mean, it's nothing that I freak out about. I mean, we all come across them in the games anyway, so not a big deal. But what they do is they will custom paint a controller for you, depending on the style and things like that. You know, there are different price marks. I will be doing an article actually about The process of actually customizing a controller that one of these guys does. So stay tuned again to Kmart Gamer. I've been doing a lot for them lately, but stay tuned over there because I'm gonna highlight the process that it takes. I was going to try my hand at a custom controller myself and found that I don't have the time. This takes a lot of work, a lot of patience, and if you can get really good at it, you can actually make yourself a lot of money just customizing controllers. So I'm really anxious to see what they can throw together and send over to me, and I'll be sure to report back to you guys exactly what I thought of the controller and maybe give you a suggestion on whether or not I think you should pick one up. But as it stands right now, these guys are near the top for custom controllers, so check that out. I also wanted to tell you guys, you might remember that I had done a brief little preview to the Game Skulls, the army helmet that has a built-in headset. I'm actually giving the one that they sent me for review, I'm giving that away to one lucky winner on my Facebook page. Go to facebook.com/SmittySmith, and it's spelled where Smitty Smith, instead of the I's, it's a one, so it's facebook.com/SmittySmith, and you'll see a contest page or a contest thread. Just click on the thread, figure out what this week's contest is. I rarely ever tell you guys to go on Twitter and pimp me out or anything like that, because I want people to find me that are actually looking for interesting gamers, game reviewers, and things like that. I don't want you just to like the Facebook page just because of the contests. And you'll see, I actually am going to cut back a little bit on contests this year, but in return, I'm actually going to make the prizes that we give away this week or this year a little bit cooler than just your $10 and $15 video games that I did most of last year. So go check out my Facebook page, like it, and that leads me to another point on the podcast. It's available on iTunes and Zune. I need you guys to do me a favor. Go to the iTunes Marketplace or the Zune Marketplace or whatever, the store on iTunes, I guess is what it's called, and leave me a review. I don't care if it's a 1-star, a 5-star, but leave me some feedback and leave some other people some feedback in regards to what they can expect on the show. I'm going to be reading that stuff, so if you think I'm doing a shitty job, the easiest way to fix it is to post an honest review. Tell me what you think. Tell me what you like. Tell me what you don't like, and I'll do my best to change it. Now, I can't say that I will be any less of a douchebag. I've been a douchebag for so long that it's really ingrained into the fiber of my being. So if you're looking to me to be less of a tool, that's probably not going to happen. But if you want some features on the show, then certainly leave that in the feedback, and I can make that happen. All right. There were no real retail releases to talk about this week, so we're really going to just kind of skim over that. Like I said, coming up in February, March, we're going to see a lot more stuff getting released over a shorter period of time. There's going to be a lot more to talk about and a lot more stuff that I'm reviewing. So if you think the last few weeks have been kind of dry with the podcast, that's because there's not a lot to play. But over the coming weeks and months, you're going to see all that pick up, and I'm going to have a lot more opinions about a lot more stuff. So make sure you stay tuned to that. Now, on the Xbox Live Arcade front, we did get a couple of games that were noteworthy of mentioning. Choplifter HD. This is I think it's a remake of an old Atari game or an old Nintendo game or something like that. It's 1,200 Microsoft points, $15. And from what I hear, it's actually pretty neat. It's pretty fun. I haven't played it myself. I did download the demo, so I'm pretty anxious to try that out. And also Amy. From the vibe that I'm getting via, social media, Twitter and Facebook and stuff like that, Amy's not very good. I haven't played it, but from other game reviewers that I know and trust, they're not giving it very good marks. In fact, they're saying it's painful to actually try to slog your way through the game. So I would say avoid that one. Again, there's a demo. Go download the demo, and that'll give you a pretty good idea of what you can expect in the actual retail game. On the deal front, there are some damn good deals out there right now. For now, this the deals run until January 16th, so about 4 more days, as of the time I'm recording this. Dungeon Defenders, that's 33% off. That's 800 Microsoft points. That's worth it. Okay, it's normally 1200. I don't care if they raise the price to 2000 Microsoft points. Dungeon Defenders is going to give you hundreds of hours of playtime, and the achievements are hard as shit to get. I put on when I did the Extra Life charity event, 24-hour gameplay marathon, I played that out of the 24 hours. I think I played 15 or 19 hours of Dungeon Defenders and didn't get a single achievement. I beat the fucking game and didn't get an achievement. That game is hardcore, but it's so rewarding and it's so fun. It's like a loot hunt, kind of tower defense type thing. And you'll find that the deals of the week this week are all tower defense, because the next game is it's 50% off, 600 Microsoft points, Orcs Must Die. This is the first game on Xbox Live Arcade that I actually gave a perfect score to. Not a perfect game by any means. We've discussed that in the past as well. But that's 600 points. If you don't have it, go get it. So for 1400 points, you can pick up Dungeon Defenders and Orcs Must Die. Do it. Get both of them. In fact, South Park, the tower defense game, that's also 400 Microsoft points. And Defense Grid: The Awakening, that's out for 50% off, 400 Microsoft points. So for 1800 points, you can get Dungeon Defenders, Orcs Must Die, and Defense Grid all this week, and you're saving, a crap ton of money. You're actually saving what, 1400 points total. That's a hell of a deal, you guys. Okay, so go out, pick those three games up. They will certainly require you to sink a lot of time into them. If you're not that big into tower defense games, I would say Orcs Must Die might be the way to go. But if you're looking for a loot hunt multiplayer experience, Dungeon Defenders is for you. The other game that I mentioned, Defense Grid, that's just single player. Tower defense. It's very fun, but it gets really hard. I've played through the initial single player. There are a couple of DLC packs out, and I picked them up, and I can't even get through one level. It's hard as shit. Speaking of DLC, Kinect Sports Season 2 Midnight Mountain Ski Pack is out for 400 points. Worms Ultimate Mayhem Multiplayer Add-on, that's out for 400 points. And Magic: The Gathering 2012, the deck expansion pack 3, is out for 240 points. This is all information I got from MajorNelson.com. If you guys don't follow Major Nelson, his blog has a lot of great information regarding Xbox and Xbox Live on a weekly basis. So make sure you check that out, because that's generally where I turn to find out what's releasing and when, if I don't have the actual information myself. For demos this week, Final Fantasy 13 2. I wasn't a huge fan of the first one. When a game, quote, doesn't get good until hour number 20, I tend to shy away. I played about 3 or 4 hours of Final Fantasy 13, and I think it had 68 cutscenes in that first, 3 or 4 hours, so it really turned me off. I'm looking forward to 13-2, because I think Square Enix has learned from their mistakes, so I'm anxious to try out that demo. Also, Ashura's Wrath is up. I haven't tried that, and this is a game that I actually want to make sure I review for you guys. I just haven't done a lot of research as to what Ashura's Wrath really entails, so I'm not going to speak on that too much. Instead, go out, get the demo, make your own informed opinion. Maybe we'll talk about it with a hot topic or a hype train issue next week. For games on demand this week, there are really only three games that they released: Naval Assault, Venetica, and NCAA Football 12. Of these three, probably the only one that you want to pay attention to is NCAA Football 12, but even then, that's still listed as $59.99, $60, and the game is going to be having NCAA Football 13 release in just a couple of months, so I'm not sure you actually want to spend that. Venetica is $20, so that's not too bad, But again, you probably find it somewhere cheaper. And Naval Assault, that's also $20. See, the problem I am having with these games on demand games is that they're severely overpriced, and the least amount you can spend on them is $20. Stick up some $5 and $10 games, for Christ's sakes. I mean, you know, we're paying customers. They're gonna get a lot more sales if they just go by that price model instead of trying to screw over the few dozen of people that are going to actually purchase the game. Why not make a great sale so you have a few hundred that actually buy the game? And I understand they want to make sure that they're still being competitive with the retail stores that are selling the Xbox 360 games. They don't want to wipe out their business because that's going to piss off the retailers, and retailers account for a lot of business in terms of you know, retail game sales. But still, I mean, when you've got a game like Venetica and Naval Assault, find a copy of that in a retail store somewhere. It's ridiculous. You know, give it to us at $10. At $10, I'd take a risk. At $20, I'm not going to touch it. And you know what? Probably you guys aren't either. So that's too bad. In news this week, I'm going to go ahead and save my rant a little bit towards the end. But it turns out Microsoft, the streaming TV talks, seem to now be on hold. They're unable to move forward because they're finding out that the cost of streaming TV and channels and whatnot on the Xbox 360 is way above what they expected. So all this talk that you know, they're going to have streaming TV, and they do have Fios and you know, some other stuff coming in the future, which we'll talk about in a minute. They still don't really know the best way, I guess I can say, to maximize profits and minimize costs, because that's what business is about in terms of streaming TV on the Xbox. Now, I don't think it's dead in the water. I still think it's going to happen, but Microsoft has to enter into some agreements with some TV stations. Now, what would be cool is if these talks really screwed over the cable companies, because that's the cost that I don't want to incur. Instead, if Microsoft can enter into agreement with Sci-Fi or something along those lines, it may require a platinum version of Microsoft, or I'm sorry, of Xbox Live, for, you know, $150 for a family pack for a year, or like $15 a month. I'm okay with that because they're not requiring it. If they give us, again, different options, you know, you've got your regular gold subscription, or you can upgrade to the platinum subscription, which gives you access to the TV stations, and then the extra money actually goes towards the TV stations because they have to make money as well. If something like that were to happen, I would be happy as a pig in shit, because it's just being given those options and being given the opportunity to actually see some of the TV shows that I want to see. Because, again, as stated before, I'm not going to pay for 400 channels when I watch three of them. If I can pay for three of them and watch three of them, you've got me as a customer. So hopefully Microsoft's listening, but, you know, who knows. Also, Xbox House Party has been announced. It's starting February 15th, and every week they're going to release a new Xbox Live Arcade game. Now, this is a lot like the Summer of Arcade and whatever the winter one is, Winter Wonderland, or I can't even remember. But starting February 15th, and I don't know if this is the actual series that this is going to be released in, but we've got Alan Wake's American Nightmare as part of the House Party. I Am Alive, Nexwiz, and Warp. Now, Alan Wake's American Nightmare, from what I'm hearing, is like a full retail game. It's you know, the equivalent of the actual Alan Wake that's out right now. But it's a $15 downloadable title, which is going to save the developers. And Microsoft publishes it, but it's going to save the developers, and their name escapes me right at the moment. But it's going to save them a bunch of money on packaging, shipping, and taking up space on retail shelves. This is something similar to what Section 8 Prejudice did earlier in the year, release their game for $15 as a downloadable title, but was certainly a full retail game. So that's pretty cool. I Am Alive is also another one like that. Now, this is being published by Ubisoft, and it's about this post-apocalyptic world that is just deteriorating, and you have to survive in it. That's really the extent of my knowledge on that one, but it does look awesome, and I know it's been in development for quite some time. It's been delayed a few times, so I'm pretty anxious to see that come out. Nexwiz, I have no idea what it is. I think this has something to do with like some sort of like a game, almost like rugby meets frisbee or something along those lines. It's kind of like a game show type thing, a physical game where you can actually change the parameters of the game, you can change the physics, you can change the rules and things like that. Interesting to see how that plays out. But with the game I'm actually really excited for is a game coming out called Warp. It's being done by Trapdoor Inc. and they're out of Montreal and being published, I think, by EA. But you play this little alien who has been abducted and placed in this laboratory. And scientists are doing all these little tests on this little alien guy. Well, he escapes, and he's got the power to kind of warp through walls or warp into scientists. So it's kind of like a puzzly comical game where I can warp into a scientist and turn him into a pinata from the inside out. I just explode and blow him up and then continue on my way. So there's going to be puzzle elements and some type of combat type thing. But the visuals on the game and the audio from everything I've seen and heard looks really good. So I'm thinking Xbox House Party for 2012 might be some of the best visuals of an Xbox arcade package that we've ever seen. And they've been doing the Summer of Arcade for a few years now, House Party for a couple of years. You'll remember last year that the Texas Hold'em game came out and things like that. But this year I think is shaping up to be quite possibly the best House Party year yet. So I'm really anxious to see how everything pans out. Next, what we have going on is we've got CES 2012 that's happening, and there's only a couple of news topics to discuss regarding CES. First, News Corp app is going to be added on Xbox Live. News Corp owns Fox, IGN, Wall Street Journal, Fox News, things like that. So sometime this year, this app is going to give us access, according to Steve Ballmer, who is, I think he's the CEO of Microsoft, we'll have access to Fox News, the IGN information, Wall Street Journal, and then actual Fox TV shows like Fringe and things like that, we're going to have access to on demand. This is a huge step if this is going to work the way it's described. Here's the app. Enjoy the TV shows on demand. That's awesome. That's step one towards what we were just talking about, what I want in regards to streaming television on the Xbox 360. So hopefully that's how it works because I'll be all over that. I mean, even TV shows that I'm not interested in on Fox, hell yeah, I'll pop them on. And even if there's a couple of commercials in the middle, I don't care. If it's free to me, put the commercials in there as long as it stays free. So this News Corp app is going to be something to pay attention to. And I wish Xbox and News Corp all the success in the world because that's just going to open doors for other companies like Viacom or even Sony. Sony owns Crackle, and Crackle's coming to Xbox at some point. Just open the door for them to add more content to the Xbox in the future. Also, something I'm very excited about that really has no direct effect on me, more of an indirect effect, is that you've got Sesame Street Connect, and I'm not talking about the game, not Sesame Street Once Upon a Monster. I'm talking about Sesame Street Connect. My 3-year-old's going to be able to sit down and watch Sesame Street and interact with the TV show. So the demonstration that was given, Elmo has 4 coconuts in his box. Yeah, I did. Elmo's got 4 coconuts in his box, and Cookie Monster knocks them out. So the kids have to throw a coconut back in the box, and they actually have to make the motion. Also, Elmo is going to count with the kids. So the Kinect is going to recognize their voice. 1, 2, 3, 4, A, B, C, D, that type of thing. That's huge. This is the future of television, folks, and we're witnessing it. This is the shit we were promised in the 90s watching, the Jetsons, which actually I think the Jetsons were from the 70s or the 80s, but the flying cars and the TVs we could interact with. This is the shit we all dreamed about, and now our kids are actually going to live it. This is what they're going to grow up with, and these kids, as they get to reach our age and are experimenting with what can be done, they're going to invent some amazing things. And just the Sesame Street Connect thing is really just the start of it. Obviously, not I'm not talking this huge global phenomena where all these kids immediately become these geniuses and are able to change the world overnight, okay? But in terms of right now, let's just assume video gaming, okay? All the shit we grew up with as kids, we're all developers now. People our age are developers, and they're developing the Kinect. They're developing Sesame Street that can interact with the Kinect. Amazing new graphics, things like that. And that stuff we dreamed up as kids. So with these kids that have access to it, imagine the type of things they're going to dream of and then eventually create in 20 or 30 years. It's just an absolute breathtaking thing to think about in terms of the big picture. So, to get back on topic, Sesame Street Connect is really, really exciting because it's going to give my son an opportunity to do all the things that I wanted to do with television as I was growing up. So, really anxious to see how that pans out. A bit of sad news actually is a plant out in what is it, China, that creates Xbox 360 parts. What's not being reported is these plants also create Sony PlayStation 3 stuff, Apple stuff, and whatnot. But they focused on the fact that this plant makes Xbox 360 stuff. Whatever, it's a news piece. 300 people have threatened mass suicide unless they get what they want. Now, it's tragic. Here's what happened. This company said, if you voluntarily step down, you leave your job, we're going to give you a severance package. For those who don't, we are going to give you a small pay raise. A bunch of people stepped down, a bunch of people stayed, and then at the last second, the company turned around and said, yeah, no severance package, no pay raise, sorry, keep working. So all these people flipped their shit, which I agree, it's a bunch of bullshit that a company would do this. Okay, that's point number one. That's crap. Now, what people aren't realizing is that this company, this is a third-party company, and the only reason Microsoft gave a comment is because if they didn't, if they turned around and said, "Look, we're not the only ones that use these guys to manufacture stuff," they would further look like the bad guys. But Microsoft doesn't own these guys. This wasn't Microsoft's, this wasn't their plan. It wasn't their choice to fuck these workers over. Okay. Unfortunately, they're getting dragged into it. What I don't like is that these workers are threatening suicide. 300 of them went up on top of a building and literally said, "We're going to jump unless you change your mind." My response is to that is fucking jump, you entitled whiners. Okay, I understand it's a bad thing. Okay, I knew someone in high school who told her boyfriend, "If you break up with me, I'm going to kill myself." Okay. By not breaking up with that girl, he is telling her that threat works. And there have been suicides at this plant before. So many suicides, in fact, that they installed net. Excuse me, apparently I just hit puberty. But they installed nets on the side of these buildings to prevent people from jumping to their death. You know what? Fuck them. Okay, if they're entitled enough to think that they're going to get what they want by threatening suicide, fucking jump. Okay? I don't give a rat's ass about the fact that you didn't get what you want. I don't get what I want on a daily basis, okay? I'm not gonna go jump off a building, all right? So you fucking whiners over in China, knock it off. And the rest of the media that are blaming Microsoft for this, back off, do a little bit of research, and stop trying to spin it in a way that's going to get you more hits on your website, all right? So, this week, the hot topic we're going to discuss is that PlayStation 4 has announced, or I'm sorry, Sony has announced that the PlayStation 4 is not going to be at E3. In fact, the PlayStation 4 isn't going to be out for another number of years. They're sticking with this 10-year time frame, okay? And what, PlayStation 3 came out in 07, so essentially we're not going to see a new PlayStation console until 2017. Microsoft, on the other hand, is kind of being a little bit quiet about what exactly is going on. So we don't know if there's going to be a new console this year, if it's going to come next year, if we're going to see it at E3 this year. Those are what the initial reports say, but nobody is really convinced that that's exactly what's happening. So, you know, I don't know what to expect from E3. Are we going to see that Xbox console, especially now after PlayStation is not showing off their new console? You know, what exactly can we expect? Now, the hot topic is, how much better can the technology really get with a new console right now? And are we ready? Meaning, you know, when the Xbox went to the Xbox 360 and the PS2 went to the PS3, HD was added, online support, wireless controllers. It's just there was a internal memory hard drives, just a wide range of stuff that we never expected to have in our console was now added and or improved dramatically. And I don't really know what they can make better. Speaking of Microsoft, with a new console coming next year, sure they can add 3D, but personally, I think that's a gimmick and that's nothing that I'm really interested in. So, are we ready for a new console? Go ahead, write into the podcast. Let me know what you think, and we'll hand out some game codes or something if we re read your response on the show next week. It's Xbox360SoloCast@gmail.com. I'm interested to see what everybody thinks about the fact that we might have a 6 or 7 year plan for Microsoft, but Sony is sticking with this 10 year plan. So write in. As for the podcast, this pretty much wraps up episode 15. I will be recording on Thursdays going forward. That's going to be the designated day rather than alternating between Wednesdays and Thursdays. We're going to stick with just Thursdays in general because it's easier for me and for the family to get it done on that day. So, and not a lot of podcasts record on Thursday anyway, so it'll give everybody something to listen to on a Friday. But anyway, thank you everybody for tuning in. Make sure you write into the podcast with whether or not you think we are ready for a new Xbox and how much better can it really get. And next week we will discuss that. Thanks for tuning in. Take care.